8 cylinders of foreign car stomping power, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The roadside vegetable stand of Medicare podcasts. He wonders why Lucas McCain never carried a pistol, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey, it is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today. If you're really quiet, you're going to hear a landscaper outside walking around, cutting down my beautiful Arizona plant life. And he's not the silent type. So if you hear a hum in the background, more than likely, it's not going to be Randy's fault. And you can't blame it on him. It'll be a guy with a gas-powered two-cycle. I think he's using a hedge trimmer. That's what it looks like to me. Anyway, we are so happy to be back here again, yakking at you at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. As you might have heard my Canadian nephew tell you, my name is Doug Jones. I am your one and only Medicare expert. I'm nobody else's, only yours. And as Drew might have told you, He is, I don't know what kind of smart-ass remarks he might have used, but there are plenty more in the mill, and I'm hoping that he will get those recorded and get them back to me sooner or later. He is, by the way, a Canadian entertainer. He has a television show called Powerboat TV, and if you want to see him in action, you can tune into www.powerboattv.com. And he started on the show for the 2020 season. So any episode of the show that's on the website that was done in 2020 or later, you're likely to see Drew. There were a couple of episodes where his co-host took over the whole thing. And there were a couple of episodes where Drew took over the whole thing. So anyway, it is a beautiful sunny day here in Arizona. I typically ask Randy what he thinks about things. And normally I get a weather report from him, but what I'd like to do first is have him play our 30-second musical spot, our radio spot that we used, that we created last year. And let's listen to that. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. All righty. I love hearing that. It's my favorite band, and it's my favorite message. The message being that we are here to help you get through this transition to Medicare that you may be facing with a minimum of concern and a minimum of worry, a minimum of head scratching, and a maximum of enjoyment, relaxation, and perhaps a couple of chuckles or two. Randy, how are things going for you over there on the other side of the screen?
Well, I would like to point out that tomorrow is a very important day in my life.
It is an important day in your life? Okay.
Yes. And yours.
All right.
And
all
yours.
Irishman, but I'm not Irish, though. I'm English. I think the Irish.
Well, I know, but you're going to get a Guinness out of the deal.
You said there were a couple of conditions. That I have to go to your house. I'm going to stay outside because you're getting over the Wuhan flu. And you look a lot better. You sound a lot better. So I'd say that you're improving quite a bit. We're going to drink a Guinness in your driveway, as I recall.
Yes, in honor of St. Patrick's Day. And if you want to come inside, we're all good now because I can't infect you with anything, because that's all done and gone. But I never get out, so I'd like to go out and sit in my driveway.
Well, I think you should, by yip and yimini. I'll bring over the 67 GTO, and we can sit next to that and admire General Motors' handiwork.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're doing it, I can sit in the driver's seat because I love GTOs. And you can take my, I can do a selfie or something, and I can grease my hair back like I'm out driving. But I won't be able to fool them because the garage door will be stationary. So the stationary.
Wind will be blowing your hair. Is that the appearance you're going for?
Yeah, that's the idea. But the trees won't be moving, so I don't know what we should do.
Let's start with that. Maybe we can find somebody to GCI it or CGI.
We can do that. CGI? We can do that. CGI, okay, well, yeah.
And frankly, yeah. I'll bet there's somebody we could find to make it look as though we're zooming past. There are a couple of old movies with really bad special effects, one of which is the one that, I wish I could remember the name of the thing, but these hooligans, these English hooligans are driving around, and you can see that the car is not moving. It's only the scenery moving past the windows. And the guy has died a couple of years ago. He's a really world famous director. And I can't imagine how this stupid, poorly done special effect got past him. But it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And
And also back in the day, as you know, they used to just put cars on a hitch and, you know, drag them down the road. And then the camera guy would be on the vehicle in front, focused on the people in the car. So, you know, maybe we could do that. I don't know. Have you got a car trailer we could use?
I could probably rent one. I don't know where I can rent a cameraman. That's going to be maybe up your alley, but we can rent a trailer. And the only thing is the drive wheels, we'd have to put it on backwards so that you'd be driving backwards at like 80 miles an hour.
Well, I've done that before, but not on purpose.
Speaking of how they film that kind of stuff, we went to see an episode of Mom, the sitcom being filmed last year. Went to visit our daughter, son-in-law, and whichever of the grandchildren were home. This was last February, I believe. And our daughter, who is a queen of activities, arranged for us to go to Warner Brothers Studios. And we joined the studio audience for a recording of Mom. And I didn't know this because I don't, you know, I live in California and I don't go to a lot of TV show recordings. But what they had was they had it broken up into its individual scenes. And there were two or three scenes of them in a car, as they are wont to do. They go places in cars. And of course, it's all the background is moving through the back window and stuff. Well, we had to watch the show in order. And they did a few live scenes, like in the living room or in their restaurant or, you know, whatever. And but all the car scenes had been filmed already. And so those things, they just said, look up at the screen above your head and enjoy that and laugh a lot. Even if it's not funny, you got to laugh when you go watch a TV show being recorded. And so then they had some guy throwing candy bars out, and then they served everybody that was hungry. God, what was it? Scrambled eggs or something. It was pretty darn weird to have dinner. Oh, I know. It was pizza, but it was kind of like soggy, thin crust pizza, and I'm a thick crust Chicago style pizza fan, so I passed on the pizza. But to have all of the car scenes already shot and have them interspersed with the live recordings, the live segments that were recorded, seemed a little weird to me, because I thought they could stick them in a car, point a camera at them, and frankly get it done. So there must be something more complex than that. Anyway,
well, you know, Wednesday, we can find out.
We could do that, or maybe if given enough Guinness, we won't really care. I have an idea.
We will look around us and believe that we're out driving down the road.
That's right. And if anybody asks us what we're up to, we'll just tell them whatever we want to feel like telling them.
We're driving around drinking heavily, but we're not moving.
That's right. And therefore, there's nothing illegal about it.
Speaking of driving around.
Yes.
I believe one of these days that I'm going to get up to Cave Creek again, and I'm going to be getting nailed, because as I told you, a great friend of mine and I have a bet going that I can get up to Cave Creek and get into the chip sans oxygen.
Well, I hope you win that bet. And I would say right now you're headed in the direction of healthy, fully operational lungs, as opposed to what you were like a while back.
I believe that's true. And
the thing is, they're going to beat the snot out of you.
Because, I know, because and that's where I'm headed with this idea here, Doug. I need some mailbag. I need some serious mailbag to pay back for these people. I've been out of the loop for months, maybe even years in their world.
As luck would have it, I do happen to have a pile. I reached into the mailbag with my leather glove on because there's something down there that chews on my little fingernails when I reach my hand in without protection. So I did grab a handful of mailbag items, and there's another handful left in there. There's been plenty. There's been lots of activity. Book sales have been trending downward, but the response from people who have read the book has been trending upward. And I can't figure that out, but let me read a couple of mailbag items and we'll get into the flow here and see how your eventual trip to the chip is likely to go. And let's see, item number one here is a woman by the name of Helga. And Helga said, "Your book was just what the doctor ordered for my greatly flummoxed brain." Now you combine Helga with a flummoxed brain, and what do you got? You got a third World War III coming up, or I don't know.
Well, okay, yeah, that whole mental picture, Helga, yep. and flummoxed brain. So Helga's obviously in our age group because I'm not sure that anybody else knows what flummoxed means.
Well, ironically, she's just a few years younger than you and a lot of years younger than me, but she says your book was just what the doctor ordered. How can I argue with that? So that's a beautiful thing. And of course, I had a big smile on my face as I read on. She says, "I turned 65 at the end of January this year and have been frozen, not due to the Chicago winter, but to the conflicting labyrinthine Medicare information and advice that I have been getting. Even after reading your book, which is soothingly simple," she's quite the wordsmith, "I have still a few things I'd like to clear up. I'm still working and intend to continue doing so, but I'm on a family health insurance plan of my husband's company. He's a year younger than I am and planning to continue working for several more years. We are both in great health and well off, like your book's clients. I tried to sign up for Medicare Part A online, since the Social Security office only allows urgent cases in person. But I got stuck when I was asked to decide if I wanted to apply for Medicare only or Medicare plus Social Security benefits. After choosing Medicare only, I could not continue as it said that I could not use the internet to apply for Medicare only." And boy, I'll tell you, that is a head scratcher because I've heard all kinds of stories. So hence her first question. Do I have to accept Social Security benefits now? Is there a penalty for delaying? Is it to my advantage to start the payouts now? I've been a legal resident, but not a U.S. citizen since 1988 and have been a stay-at-home mom until I started my current job in 2019. My husband has been legally employed here since 1988. And then she goes back to her questions. Can I delay signing up for Medicare Part B without penalty until we were no longer covered under my husband's company insurance? Is Medicare part of the Medicare? Is Medigap, the word Medigap, she says, is that part of the Medicare Advantage plans that you do not recommend taking? And then she says, did I understand correctly that it's advisable to sign up for a drug plan to lock it in, even if I'm not nor planning to take any drugs? I would be infinitely grateful to hear from you soon. Warm wishes, Helga, and her last name is multisyllabic. Well, I said, thanks very much for the kind words. Answer number one, no, you do not have to sign up for Social Security now or at any time. As far as I know, the online Medicare enrollment process has been in a state of flux for the last year now, and I've heard conflicting reports about the best method to use. As painful as this sounds, you might have the best results by getting someone at the Social Security Administration on the phone and having them tell you exactly what they think you ought to do to initiate your enrollment. There is no reason to take Social Security payments now unless you want to. And answer number two, as long as you are covered by your husband's creditable coverage and he is actively at work, there will be no penalty for delaying your Part A and Part B enrollment. I always like to see people get Part A as soon as they can. And as soon as they can would be at age 65, unless they're making deductible contributions to an HSA. That's the only time they should not sign up for Medicare Part A when they're eligible. But otherwise, when they sign up for Medicare Part A, they're already on the books, and I bet they wouldn't have difficulty dealing with the Social Security Administration because they will have already had Part A enrollment. Anyway, so I said, if your husband leaves his job, you still have a considerable amount of time to straighten things out before that dreaded lifetime penalty becomes a threat. Since it is not prudent to go without coverage, I doubt that you would let yourself fall into that situation. And then I said, Medigap, that you asked about, is a synonym for Medicare supplement, which I actively promote. It is not connected with Medicare Advantage at all. It is advisable to enroll in a drug plan right away if your current coverage comes to an end. There's a lifetime late enrollment penalty that could get to be burdensome if you go long enough. The least expensive drug plan I am aware of this year is an Aetna plan that costs $7.30 per month. So that is what I recommend to people who might otherwise risk incurring that late enrollment penalty. If I can be of service in the future, please don't hesitate to contact me. Attain. I think I meant again. Again. Anyway, so then she writes back. She says, thank you very much for your fast reply. I'm going to sleep easy tonight. I think it is so generous and big-hearted of you to allow us to contact you and to give personalized advice. Major brownie points to you. These days, it has become rare to find caring and altruistic people whom you can ask a question without having to sign up for their signature program. I will call the SSA number tomorrow, as you suggested. So I think that was a beautiful end to what I hope is going to be a successful telephone call to her to get things rolling with her Medicare Part A enrollment. And as long as she continues working, she's not going to need much else. I thought I heard Randy's, oh boy, we have even more landscapers out there. We have one in my yard again and one across the street. So if you hear a two-cycle motor or if you smell the oil, then you'll know what's going on here. Okay. Here we have another item from the mailbag. You know, you couldn't just be out in the yard. You had to come stand right outside the window.
Now, pretty soon they'll be banging on the window wanting you to wave at them.
I actually did wave at him. He had his hands full with his leaf blower, but he smiled. So I guess that was close enough. All righty. Well, here's another one. I'll just have to talk louder. And this is a letter from a gentleman who says, what does he say? He had some trouble. This guy had some trouble. He said, I was checking my options for Part D, which is the drug plans. And he said, I didn't see what I expected to see. Come on, Mel. Hurry up. Let's go. Let's go. That's Mel. He's from England, but you'd never know it. And if you want to meet Mel in person, Randy, go down to the not the Buffalo Chip, but go to Harold's. Any afternoon.
Oh, Harold's?
After 1 o'clock, he holds court at Harold's.
So this is Mel?
This is Mel.
And what is Mel? So is Mel like out waving at you? Or
Mel owns the landscaping company, but once in a while he gets down and dirty and does the actual work. Mel has walked to the side window now in my office or outside my office and is taking great glee in torturing me.
I was going to point out to the people in the audience that aren't familiar with Arizona, Doug is trying to play that off as a landscaper. Actually, that's termites. That's what happens in Arizona. Those are actually termites working on Doug's house.
They say that if you either you have termites or you're going to have termites.
Yeah.
Everybody gets termites sooner or later. Actually, Mill, being an Englishman, is kind of an anomaly. When I used to come out here, my grandparents had several houses in, farther south of here in Paradise Valley and Scottsdale. Every week, a magical thing would happen. A truck would pull up with a trailer, and a whole bunch of dudes would jump off that truck, and they would go around mowing the lawn because everything was grass back in those days, back in the 50s and 60s. And they would clean the pool, and they would, hack down the bushes and do all the stuff in about a half an hour and get a lot of stuff done, all pile back on the truck and head out to their next job. They were all Japanese. The Japanese owned the landscaping market in Arizona, maybe in other places too. And you don't see them in that kind of work anymore. You know, it wasn't, Mel, I thought finished up here, but no, he came back for another hit at. I'll show him.
So now the Asian folks, they're into the nail business. They don't care about landscaping.
I think those are Vietnamese ladies.
Yeah. So this specifically Japanese were into the landscaping business.
Right. It was definitely Japanese. No other type of Asian culture that I know of. And frankly, like the various cultures that come to this country kind of tend to hang together. They don't demand universal. What do you call it? That's they don't demand that everybody, work together to further mankind and society like we kind of do today.
So I got a question for you now.
Okay.
You said your grandpa owned several houses, and I'm wondering if any of those houses that you remember, instead of having irrigation, the normal kind that we're used to back in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Did any of them have flood irrigation?
Oh yeah. And that house is still there and it still looks beautiful. It's a beautiful little neighborhood on Pasadena parallel to Camelback. So it's on the north side of Camelback. Pasadena is the first street you come to. And this is in the 3600 block of Pasadena. And it was a very nice, kind of a newish house in the 60s. That neighborhood is called Arcadia.
And Oh, yeah, Arcadia.
It's full of beautiful mid-century houses. And there was, a guy would come every 2 weeks from the city and turn on a valve and flood the yard. And then it would be, green and nice all year round.
I never knew about flood irrigation till I got out here.
Yeah. And in fact, it was long after that. They lived there in the 60s, early 60s. They had that house. And my grandmother later moved farther east on Pasadena. So that was actually Phoenix. And then she moved into Scottsdale on the same street and had flood irrigation there. But their original house, the first house they owned here, was in Paradise Valley. And I wish they'd hung on to that because that thing would be worth a fortune now. Paradise Valley property values are just, sky high. There he goes again. This is why I don't feel guilty about wasting the people's time.
I'm going to tell you one more story, and then we probably better either figure out.
I hope it's
out.
Entertaining because.
Well, it brought it to mind when you said, it was down in the really interesting part of town. My mom had a cousin who married a fella.
Okay, let me get my chart out.
Yeah, I think you're going to need some pencil and paper here. My mom had a first cousin that moved out here back when Scottsdale and Phoenix were literally just wide spots in the road darn near.
Yeah.
And her husband ended up being over the course of, he was a huge real estate developer kind of guy. And was for some years the head of the Arizona Realtors Commission / uh-huh. I don't know. He was all about realty. So long story short is he built a house at literally spitting distance to the foot of Camelback Mountain.
Uh-huh.
And that little house, it was just, it wasn't little. It was probably a good sized house back when they built it.
Yeah.
But when those two passed on to their greater real estate rewards, that house, I cannot tell you because I don't really know. That lot, people were bidding on that lot like the world was coming to an end because they wanted to be at the foot of Camelback.
Right.
Only to rip it down to rebuild, obviously. But that was probably the premier spot of Phoenix, Arizona for many, many, many years.
Well, I got to tell you that the first house my grandparents bought, see, I used to come out with them in the 50s, and I would be in like second, third grade or whatever. And we stayed at a place very close to where your aunt and uncle probably had their property, which was the Jokaki Inn.
It was a ranch.
And that was located where the Phoenician is now.
Yeah.
On Camelback Road. It's the same property. They saved one building from the Jokaki Inn, which was like a Spanish mission church. And not a real one, you know, it was a mock-up. But anyway, so that back then you could ride your horse all the way around Camelback Mountain without crossing a street, without having to worry about a fence or anything else. So your uncle was very far-sighted to be able to snatch up some land there. I climbed Camelback Mountain twice, once as a little kid, like third grade. That was climbing up the side of it with no equipment or anything. And then I climbed the head, for which you needed equipment. You know, you needed carabiners and all that, you know. And I did that when I was in high school because my cousins lived here. And they said, let's go climb Camelback Mountain. And I thought, can we do that? Hell yes. So on top of the head, there's a cave. And you can go into this cave and build a fire. And there's a chimney at the top of the head. There's a hole in what would be the camel's skull.
Oh, really?
It's pretty weird. I wanted to stay up there. They said, no, we got to. We got girlfriends to tend to, so let's get off this mountain.
Yeah, we don't care about sitting in this thing, blowing smoke out the hole at the top.
But my grandparents decided to establish a presence here, so they bought their first house in Paradise Valley in 1961-ish, and I came out spring break 1962, and I know what it looked like, as I have photographs. I know what I remember. And so I took a friend of mine back there because I've got the address. A couple of years ago, we were riding around in the Corvette and I couldn't find it to save my soul. So I got the GPS, put the address in it. And it turns out that house has been torn down and there's a giant walled estate on that property now and surrounding it too. It was out in the desert before and it is now like the world's highest priced property in Arizona.
Wow. Cool. So,
boy, I bet those Medicare people that tuned in to learn about Medicare are just thrilled with this episode.
Well, there's that. Plus, we're learning about landscaping. But I think we need to land the plane.
Yeah, I think we should.
And ultimately, I think we've got enough material that I can stay alive Friday at the chip.
Well, I'm ready to record some more if you think it's a good idea, but we'll discuss that another time, I guess, or when we're finished recording this.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, everybody. Yeah.
Go to Amazon, buy the books, Medicare for the Lazy Man. The 2020 edition has a red, 2021 has a red 2021 on the cover. And there's an ebook edition. There's going to be eventually an Audible book version. God knows when.
What'd you say?
God knows when.
No, I thought you meant there you go. When you said inaudible. The inaudible book. Oh, no, never mind.
That's our inaudible version of the book. I turned it in January 21st and they said, okay, it'll be 30 business days. So 30 business days, I think, is about 6 weeks. And it's been longer than that, because we're in the middle of March right now.
And when did you turn it in?
January 21st.
And now we're what, March?
15, something like that. Oh, well, March 16th. Oh, boy. Well, remember last year, we turned it in on January 27th, and it finally went on sale April 22nd.
Well, so, there you go. So
they're just not in any hurry.
They're not in any big hurry. They're not concerned at all with time, publishing things that are time sensitive.
You'd think they'd like to sell some product, but no, they just want to stop me from selling product, I guess. So in any event, come back another time. We'll talk more Medicare, hopefully without the aid of the landscapers. Mel, I'll try to time it so Mel's, hey, you know something? This is the time that Mel is usually at Harold's. It's
no
middle
kidding.
Of the afternoon. I don't know what he's doing here.
Maybe what's he doing working?
I think maybe the time change confused him.
Oh, that's true.
Even though that Arizona doesn't have a time change, the rest of the world does. And I think that's
that could be. That could be. So, you know something? We need to thank the audience big time for being with us today. They've been very patient. They've learned about landscaping. Mm-hmm. They've learned about flood irrigation as related to landscaping.
The history of Arizona real estate.
Yeah, the history of Arizona real estate. That, you know, there was a lot down at the bottom of Camelback Mountain that was pretty pricey after the folks that originally owned it, which were friends and relatives of mine, passed on to the great landscape real estate work in the sky. But ultimately, thank you all for joining us. We're going to land the plane now. And Doug, the anti-insurance insurance guy.
Here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. Here it comes.
The
Are you reading all this? Are you reading this?
Head of the MLM Airlines and chief pilot. The only guy I know of that asked his father for an insurance application pad for Christmas.
And I'm still working on getting all those things filled out. So someday I'll be able to yell success.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for joining us. We look forward to catching you again next time. And be careful. Don't get any sickness. Don't get run over by a truck. Just be good.
Stay away from my landscapers, too.
That's right.
Bye-bye.